And what a blessing that is. Let's take our Bibles this evening and go to Romans chapter number 11. Romans chapter 11. And in just a moment, I want us to begin in verse number 33. And we'll read down to verse number 36. Romans chapter number 11. I have chosen, as I believe the Lord has led me, to take a few Sunday nights, and maybe I will only take one more. And of course, that will be a little bit of time because next Sunday, obviously, night is the cantata. And then the Sunday night after that, we will have no service because that's Christmas Eve. And then the Sunday night after that will be New Year's Eve. So we'll see what happens there. But I believe the Lord has led me to speak on the subject of the sovereignty of God. Last Sunday night when I finished, I told my wife, I said, boy, I know that was a deep message. There was a lot of meat there from God's Word. And but I believe that there are times when we ought to really dive into the Scriptures. And there is a truth, there is a doctrine of the sovereignty of God. The very idea was that God is in control of all things. And God allows things to take place. Tonight, I want to speak to you on this subject, the wonderful wisdom of God. Now, if we're going to understand the sovereignty of God, we must talk about God's wisdom. Because we think according to our wisdom, do we not? We make decisions based on our past judgments, our past circumstances of life. We make decisions on that. But God's wisdom is not based on the past or the present. God's wisdom is a complete wisdom. In fact, God never learns anything. Did you know that? Because He is all-knowing. He knows everything. He understands everything. God not only, when He looks at a situation, He just doesn't see it in the present. He sees the past, present, and the future all together. And there is a purpose behind what God is doing. Years ago, back in 1966, on October the 21st, at 9:15 in the morning, there was a waste tip from the South Wales coal mine that had slid. And it slid into the quiet mining community of Aberfan. The black slime slithered down the man-made hillside and oozed its way into a public school. And there on that day, 5 teachers and 109 children died of suffocation from this coal mine. A preacher was interviewed during all of this taking place, and a preacher was asked the inevitable question of, where was God in all of this? And the BBC reporter asked him that question, and the preacher said this, well, I suppose we have to admit that this is one of those occasions when the Almighty made a mistake. Now, let me say this to you tonight. We gasp at that. We think, what a horrible thing for anyone to say, but especially for the man of God, a preacher. But folks, let us remember that in our hearts and in our minds, we may not say it verbally, but we all have gone through things, adverse circumstances, tragedies, calamities, disappointments, heartaches, trials, to where we in our minds have wondered, does God know? We have wondered, does God understand what is going on? Is God really working this together for my good and His glory? Is God really intervening in this situation? But tonight, it is a matter of faith. It is a matter of trust in the wonderful wisdom of our God. Romans chapter 11, let's begin in verse number 33. The Bible says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Now go back to verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Now let's think tonight about the wisdom and the knowledge of God. What does God know tonight? Can I tell you something? He knows everything. He knows everything. He knows what is going on in your life. He knows your heartache. He knows your trial. He knows the very thoughts that you think. The Bible even tells us that if God knows when the sparrow, and by the way, a sparrow, we would consider a little insignificant bird, would we not? How many has a bird feeder at your house? Would you raise your hand? And my wife loves that we have a bird feeder, and we have all kinds of birds come in. And we have even a little book that someone gave us to try to identify these different birds and all that. And you know, but so often our kids will say, well, what kind of bird is that? And, oh, it's just a sparrow. Is it not amazing that God put that in the Word of God? He chose that type of bird to say that God says when the sparrow touches the ground, it falls to the ground, God knows about it. Now, we would think, I don't care about that. I mean, if you came to me tonight and said, Pastor, sparrow landed on the ground tonight, I'd say, God bless you. Go to your seat. I'm preaching, all right, you know? I'd say, something's wrong with you, all right? You know, I'd say, big deal. Who cares? But God cares. And God understands. The Bible even tells us that His understanding is infinite. So what about the knowledge of God? God knows everything. God knows you and me. God knows what we deal with. God knows the future. He knows the past. He knows everything wrapped together. But what about God's wisdom? His wisdom, He is all-knowing. He is all-wise. God has all wisdom. There is nothing that could be known that God does not already know. He knows it all. And tonight, do you understand that the sovereignty of God, understanding this doctrine, brings us to the place of faith and a place of trust? Look here, I can trust someone. I can put my trust in someone, and there's nothing wrong with us trusting each other. I think we have to. In a sense, that's what friendship is built on. It is built on trust. As your pastor, you trust me in a sense. You trust me to walk with God. You trust me to lead the church as I am following the Lord Jesus Christ. You trust me. And, you know, I have staff that work in our church throughout this ministry. In a sense, I trust them with responsibilities. And I trust them. But can I tell you this? I have let you down. And all of us have said that others have let us down at times. People let us down. We sometimes can lose trust in people because of maybe what they have done. But let me say this to you. Our trust tonight, I'm not speaking of trusting in a person. I'm speaking that we can trust God because He is trustworthy. Do you know tonight that God will never fail you? You know that God will never lie to you tonight? In fact, the Bible says it's impossible for God to lie. It's not that God will not lie. It is impossible for God to lie. He will not lie. He can't. He is truth. He is the very embodiment of truth. But God has all wisdom. He has all knowledge. And that helps me in my Christian life. Because, you know, the Christian life is a journey of faith. It is a journey of trusting God. It is a journey of depending upon the Lord. But how can I trust a God that I think makes mistakes? We can't trust a God that way. If we think that God is not all-wise and all-knowing, then we cannot trust Him. If we think, for instance, God, do you understand? Well, God does know. He understands. His understanding is infinite. Do you know that as a pastor, people come to me at times for counseling? You know, I feel so limited when they come to me. Because, can I just say this to you? When someone comes to me with counseling, do you know that there are so many things that I do not know? Number one, I don't know what has taken place in their past. I don't know their past. I don't know the other people that has affected their life. I don't know the circumstances. And by the way, there's always three stories, you know? This person's story, the other person's story, and then the truth, you know? That's seemingly how it is sometimes. And you know, the truth is, I don't have all the details. I cannot make a rational judgment based on what one person tells me. It is so difficult to give counsel. Why? Because my counsel is limited. Because I do not have all knowledge and I do not have all wisdom. But when we go to God, when we go to Him in prayer, when we can trust Him with our life and knowing that the adverse circumstances of our life, God is in charge and He is allowing them for His purpose and for His glory in our life. Tonight, the wonderful wisdom of our God. Years ago, I heard the story of a sincere Christian. I was watching a child struggle with cancer. And I don't know that there's something more difficult that pulls on our heartstrings. I'm in Children's Hospital a lot, and as I'm in there, I walk through the hallways and see children. You can tell they have cancer, and you can know that some of them are never going to get better. And I always walk through, and it's hard to walk through. It's hard to see them there. Well, this sincere Christian was watching a child struggling and dying with cancer. And he said this, "I sure hope God knows what He is doing." You know, we may think, well, don't they have faith in God? But brethren, we all have been there in our lives. We've all had questions. We've all had doubts. We've all wondered, does God know? Does God understand? Does God really understand what is going on in my life? Does He know what is happening in my heart? Well, brethren, tonight as we study this subject, the wonderful wisdom of our God, we see tonight that we can trust our Heavenly Father. We can depend upon Him. Brethren, when we stop and think about it, we know in our heart of hearts that God does not make any mistake in our lives. But it's hard to remember that, and it's hard to believe that during a trial. And brethren, God does know what He is doing tonight. That's really the embodiment of sovereignty. The sovereignty of God, the providential hand of God, that God does know what He is doing. He always knows what is best for you and me and what is the best way to bring about that result. You see, what is wisdom tonight? We talk about wisdom and we might say of someone that he or she has wisdom, but wisdom is commonly defined as good judgment. Or the ability to develop the best course of action for a matter. Or the best response to a given situation. But brethren, can I say to you tonight that we serve a God in heaven who has all wisdom, who has all knowledge, and God always does what is right in your life and in my life. The circumstances that God has brought into your life have not escaped the mind of God. They are no accident. We may look at them and we may try. Do you not try? Do I not try? When we deal with something, we think, okay, I believe that God is in control. We kind of go into it with a matter of faith. And I believe that God is going to work all things together for my good. And then we try to analyze and find out where the good is and why God did it. And when we cannot, that's when our reason begins to stumble and crumble, and then we begin to think, well, maybe God isn't in control, and maybe God, where is God, and what is God doing in my life? Can I tell you something tonight? There may be things in your life that God will never tell you why, and that you will never know this side of heaven why they happened to you. But brethren, tonight, let us trust in the wisdom of our God. Let us faith Him. And let's go on a little journey tonight. Number one, I'll give you two simple points. Number one, God's wisdom is perfect. Now, you know, tonight, human wisdom is fallible, is it not? Have you ever asked someone for counsel and they gave you bad counsel? Would you raise your hand, hold it up high? Have you ever had that happen? You know what I find to be really funny is when teenagers ask other teenagers for counsel in life. I'm like, are you serious? Are you kidding me? You know, you asked him to counsel you on the direction for your life, you know? And You know, it's amazing to me. Years ago, I remember I was with some group of guys, and it was around some electric fence. And I had not done anything around an electric fence before. And they had figured out a way how to touch it without them shocking them. There was a certain part. And they said, "Hey, Aaron, come over here. Grab this thing." I said, it's gonna hurt. They said, "Oh, no, it's not really bad. Only the cows can feel it, you know." So I went over there and grabbed a hold of that thing. Man, lit me up like everything, you know. It also reminds me that time, and I've told you this story, but we had we piled up a bunch of sticks, and this was on a guy's farm in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and we'd helped him clean up after a storm, and we doused it with gasoline. I mean, gallons of gasoline. And I did not understand about the thing of fumes and gasoline fumes and all that. And they said, "Hey, Aaron, come over. You can light the match, you know." And, boy, I was dumb to listen to them, was it not? I lit that match. Man, it exploded, burnt my eyebrows right off, singed my hair. I was burnt. I hurt for weeks after that. You know, my lips, my ears, my nose, everything that was tender, and it was burnt, you know? And I thought to myself afterwards, I literally thought, I said, that was the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life. But you know what? I listened to the wrong counsel. I did what they said. Look here, human wisdom is fallible. I could give you a counsel tonight that my counsel is not with all wisdom. My counsel tonight is limited on my past knowledge. It is limited on the circumstances of my life. My wisdom is not infinite tonight. But brethren, tonight, God's wisdom is unlike man's wisdom. That's why the Bible tells us when God said, "My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts." God says, "I do not think like a man." God is God. He is infinite in His wisdom. He is perfect in His wisdom. God is inerrant in His wisdom. You see, the wisest men and the wisest women today do not have all the facts of a given situation, nor are they able to predict with certainty the results of a given course of action. Do you understand tonight that I don't know the future, and you don't know the future? I can say to you, "Well, this is what you should do," but I don't know what's going to happen in the future. But brethren, tonight, God knows what's going to happen in the future. And God brings things to our life, trials, testing, heartache, sorrow. We think, "Lord, there is nothing good that's going to come out of this." And we may never see this side of heaven what the results of what God brought into our life came to pass. But brethren, let us trust in the wisdom and in the sovereignty of our God. Do you know, here's something else when we think about God's wisdom is perfect. Do you know that I have agonized over decisions through my life? How many would be honest, there's been some decisions in your life that you've had a hard time making? Would you raise your hand and hold up high? Well, I'm glad to know that. Because guess what? Sometimes we struggle. Have you ever said, and I don't want you to raise your hand, have you ever said, "I don't know what to do"? Man, I've said that a lot. I acknowledge that I do not have all wisdom. In fact, James 1:5, one of the conditions for receiving God's wisdom is to acknowledge that you lack wisdom. The Bible says if any of you lack wisdom, you have to understand that you don't have all wisdom before God will give you His wisdom. But brethren, there's been many decisions that I've struggled with. I've wanted to know the mind of the Lord. I didn't want to make a mistake. I wanted to make sure that I was doing what God wanted me to do. I agonized over the decision. But tonight, may I say to you that God never agonizes over a decision. God never has to think, "I sure hope this is the right thing to do for that person." God never has to think, I sure hope that what I'm bringing into his or her life is going to be good for them. God never have to agonize this because his decision making is perfect. It is without error. It is perfect in our lives. His wisdom. You see tonight, God's wisdom is infinite and it is infallible. Take your Bibles and go to Psalm chapter 147. And I want to show you something here. Now, so often the reason that we ask why It's because so often we do not see any possible good. I've told you this years ago. I was working on my house, and we had bought our first house, which was exciting. And I remember telling my dad, I'll never have to do anything to this house. It's perfect, you know. And that shows you how much wisdom I had about home ownership, you know. And I remember we had to, of course, replace all the wiring, all the plumbing, and there was a little bit of everything we had to do in that house. And one day, I was working in the basement, and I fell. Just a simple fall. It wasn't very far, probably, you know, 3 or 4 feet off the ground. When I did, I landed just in a certain way and dislocated my elbow. And boy, you talk about pain. That hurts. Went to the hospital, and the doctor said, hey, this is not a big deal. I said, it is a big deal to me. It hurts, you know. And he said, we're going to put you to sleep, and we're going to set your arm. He said, we'll put you in a little kind of a medium cast, and for a couple of weeks, you'll be just fine. I said, good. I'm a youth pastor. I've got things going on. I'm busy and all of that. Well, in the course of being asleep, I didn't know, but when the doctor jammed my arm back in, he crushed my radial head. The radial head is a little thing that allows your arm to pivot like that. Destroyed it, and I didn't know it. And when I went back to see the doctor, and the doctor said, we need to schedule surgery. I said, surgery? I said, what do you mean surgery? He said, yeah, your radial head is crushed. And boy, I'll tell you, I remember thinking, Lord, I don't understand this. Can I tell you something tonight? To this day, that's been many years ago, I cannot tell you any good that I seen that came out of that. I spent weeks and weeks in therapy, and my arm got locked in place. And even to this day, it's still a little limited in what it can do and all that. Why did that happen? Why did that take place? Why? What was the purpose behind all of that? Brethren, I don't know. I cannot say to you, well, praise God, I know what the Lord was doing, and God was... I cannot say that to you tonight. But by faith, I believe that God used that in my life, either for my spiritual maturity, which I hope and pray it was, either it was for whatever reason. I don't know. My knowledge and wisdom is so limited. But tonight, I faith God. And I've had to come to the place years ago in my life when I just simply said, Lord, I don't understand this, but I trust that you are good and you make no mistakes. You see, brethren, the wisdom of God is perfect. Psalm 147 says this. Notice what it says, and let's look, if you would please, in just verse number, let's start in verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, he gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. And look at this little phrase. His understanding is infinite. Do you know that God, now isn't it not amazing that in the same passage where the Lord is talking about how that he healeth the broken in heart and he binds up their wounds. Can I ask you something tonight? Have you had your heart broken? Have you been wounded? Have you been hurt? Have you had a broken heart? Have you had disappointment and sorrow and trial come to your life? Then notice, next verse, the Bible says, he telleth the number of the stars. It almost seems like, God, you're talking about the broken in heart and those that are wounded, and now you're talking about the stars. But he says, he telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Can I ask you something? Do you know how many stars there are? You and I don't know. There are billions of stars. We cannot count them, but God can count them. Do you know their names tonight? God knows their name. And then the Bible says, he, great is our Lord, and of great power, his understanding is infinite. Brethren, if God knows the number of stars and the names on each star because he created it, and those are things that are not with an eternal soul, and yet you and I are made in the very image of God, he loves us tonight, he cares for us tonight, his understanding of what is going on in our life is infinite tonight. He has brought it to pass for a purpose that we may never see. But let us trust trust our God because His wisdom is perfect tonight. It is perfect. You see, tonight, secondly, God's wisdom is not only perfect, but God's wisdom is with purpose. Now take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8. When I first got saved and came to know the Lord as my Savior, I had an idea of God that was not a realistic idea of God in the Christian life. I kind of thought that if I was trying to obey the Lord and trying to serve God, that God would keep every bad thing from me. You know, I mean, look, let's be honest, parents. We don't want bad things to come to our children, do we not? In fact, we try to protect them from those things. We do that because we love our children and we want their life to be as blessed as possible. But do you know that if we try to shield our children from every difficulty and trial, they will never really grow? God, in His infinite wisdom and a wisdom of purpose, does not spare us from disease, heartache, and disappointment of this sin-cursed world. He doesn't spare us. Now, I had a hard time understanding that when I was first saved. But brethren, God is able to take all of those elements, no matter what it may be, the bad as well as the good, and He is able to make full use of every one of them. Look here tonight. Can I tell you something? Everything that comes to your life and in my life is of use for some purpose. God has a use for it. How many gets lots of junk mail? Would you raise your hand? All right? Boy, I do. And I think to myself, and we get a lot here at the church, magazines, big old thick, you know, books for ordering office material, whatever it may be. And I think, man, this is a waste, you know, because you know what we do? We throw it in the trash, you know. If we kept all those books, we wouldn't have room for anything else around here. We throw them away. Can I say something to you? They're of no use to me. But everything that God sends to you, He packages to you, is of use for your life. You may not think it's of use. You may not think. You may say, Lord, I'm sending this back. Return to sender, you know. Lord, I don't want this in my life. But brethren, God in His wisdom is perfect, but God's wisdom has purpose. He loves you enough to send you what you need. Romans chapter 8, and you know what we think of? When we think of Romans 8, we think of verse 28, do we not? But can I tell you this? If you do not connect verse 29, you don't have the true purpose of why God is doing things. Romans 8, verse 29, notice what the Bible says. Romans 8, verse number 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, we may stop there, but let's not stop. Verse 29 says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Can I help you to understand tonight? The trials, the heartache, the sorrow, God is working that in our lives to make us into the conformity of His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. No, we will never attain sinlessness. But do you think tonight, now let's just be honest with ourselves, most, and I would have to say almost all, of the character traits that should be in the life of the Christian, do you know how they come to us? Through adverse circumstances. God teaches us, hey look, if you want to learn patience, then guess what? God sends trials your way. Teaches us patience. We think about different things that God teaches us. What about the kind of love that gives freely of itself at a great cost to itself, can only be learned when we are confronted with situations that call for a sacrificial love. Do you know tonight that you won't really know and understand Calvary love until you are faced with situations and even people that you are called upon to love them when you don't want to love them. You're called upon to forgive them when you don't want to forgive them. What is God trying to teach you? Well, it could be that He's trying to teach you His love, His giving love. Think of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look here, that love is an immeasurable love. It is a love that God loves us even though we've sinned against Him. It is the love when He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I don't understand that kind of love. Because if you and I were there, we would say, "Kill all these people that crucified Jesus Christ. Those that mocked Him. Those that plucked His beard from His face. Those that cursed Him. May a terrible disease happen to their life to bring judgment upon them for what they did to the Son of God." We think of vengeance, do we not? But oh, the love that is the love of God is, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You see, God has a purpose in people that He placed in our life, situations that He placed in our life, health conditions that He places in our life. What about the fruit of the Spirit called joy? Do you know that we all want that fruit, do we not? And by the way, I believe that when we are Spirit-filled, that we exhibit all the fruit of the Spirit. But let's think about joy. Do you know that joy cannot be learned in the midst of circumstances that produce just natural happiness? What about if you lived your whole life and you never had any adverse circumstances happen to you? Do you know that we would be the most spoiled people in the world? Do you know, in fact, when we think about what is known as the greatest generation, it was the people after the world wars. Those people knew what sacrifice was about. They knew what it was to give to their country. They knew what it was to be willing to die for their country. And when those men and women came back, it was known as the greatest generation, because it was people that knew how to work hard, and people knew how to sacrifice, and people that knew something about morals and values. But can I say that we're suffering today because people grow up without any struggle, any sacrifice whatsoever, and they have the mentality of everything is for me and what can you do for me? You see, brethren, tonight, the purpose of what God is doing in our life, He is molding us. He is shaping us into His image. He is making us more like the Lord. God, in His infinite wisdom, by the way, knows exactly what adversity that you and I need to grow us into His likeness. He not only knows what we need, but He knows when we need it and how best to bring it in our life. If you're a parent here tonight, you know that you cannot deal with every child the same way. You can't, because they're different. They're different. I can remember with our children, and sometimes I try not to embarrass them, you know, too much. But I can remember dealing with our daughter, Abby, and dealing with her was different than dealing with our other children. And the way we had to discipline her and all of that, it was different. And, you know, we had to exert a difference in dealing with her. I remember being on a team, and Coach Hickman has been here, and you brought him in for our 5-year anniversary, which was very special. But I remember him saying to us as a team, he said, "Look, guys, I have to deal with each of you differently because you handle reproach in a different way. You handle correction in a different way." But brethren, God, in His wisdom, He made you. He gave you your personality. He gave you everything about your life. He knows things about you. He knows your emotion. And by the way, let's not be afraid of emotion, because God is the one who gave us emotion. But God knows everything about you. And God knows what we need, when we need it, and how much we need it to make us into His image. You see, brethren, tonight, God's wisdom is perfect, but God's wisdom has purpose in your life and in my life. Take your Bibles and let's go to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 10. And may I remind you tonight, it is not necessarily comfort or happiness that God is trying to bring into our life. It is conformity. Now, please don't miss that statement. You know what we kind of think sometimes? Well, God, you're doing all this to make me happy. No. No. He is doing all of that to make us holy. Now, by the way, a byproduct of holiness is happiness. But we just want to be happy. We want to be comfortable, do we not? Look, let's just admit to ourselves, we love comfort, do we not? I mean, praise God, when I go home, have me some scrambled eggs and tater tots and turn on the fireplace. Praise God for that. That's comfort, brother, right there, you know? That's comfort, and that we long for that, and there's nothing wrong with that. And thank God, all the blessings that God gives us are from Him. All the comforts that the Lord has blessed us with come from His hand to us. But I fear that in my life, I think, well, God, I want you to do this to make me more comfortable. Or I want you to do this to make me more happy. No, God's intent for your life and my life is to make us like Him. Is to make us holy. It is to conform us. Look in Hebrews chapter 12 and let us begin in verse number 10. And I want to explain something to you because I don't want you to miss this. Now, you know, so often we think of the word discipline or chastening as something bad. We think of discipline as, well, God only disciplines us when we get out of line. Do you know that you and I need discipline no matter if we're living in sin? Do you know that discipline is something we all need? By the way, we have a Christian school here. Do you know that there is an element of discipline in our school? A discipline when they get up out of their seat and when they can talk and when they cannot. A part of that is for their character and their conformity to understand. If they don't learn it in school, how are they going to learn it on a job site one day? When they have to listen to the boss and obey and follow rules and orders and all of that. But brethren, discipline is not bad. It is good. And discipline is not just for correction. It is for conformity. So let's look in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 10. The Bible says, we need to move up here because I want to show you more of this. Let's begin verse number 6. The Bible says, Hebrews 12 verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Do you know the Bible says He does that to every son, everyone? Verse 7, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. Now, I know what you think. When I was a kid and I read that, I thought, yeah, Mom and Dad take pleasure in spanking me. But do you know that the word pleasure there is not meaning enjoyment? The idea of the word pleasure there is in their own mind, according to what they think is right. And parents, can we be honest tonight? Have you ever dealt with your child and you thought, that discipline was not correct? I was a little too harsh, or I was a little too soft. Do you know that our discipline, we seek to discipline and we must discipline. In fact, the Bible says if we don't discipline, we don't really love our children. But can I say this to you? We discipline the best that we know how, according to what we know to do. We read on here. We've had our fathers which corrected us. And the Bible goes on to say, verse number 10, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now look in verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Can I stop and say this to you? Now please listen to me, and I don't want you to miss this. I'm afraid that we have used that passage, and I have used it, just talking about that if we get out of God's will, God's going to chasten us and spank us and discipline us. But brethren, that is also speaking that is what God does for you and me all the time. Do you know that we need discipline? We need chastening. The ideal is correction. We need God to change the way we think and change the way we act and change our lives. We need that. And that's a part of having revival and living in obedience to God. But God sends trials. He sends those, God says, for our profit tonight. It is for our good. It is to make us like Jesus knows that we need to be. Look here, none of us tonight, we don't know how we are to live. I don't know how to make myself into what God wants me to be. Do you know? Can you figure that out? Can you know what needs to change in your life? We don't. But our Heavenly Father does. And He loves us tonight. And He is sovereign by bringing everything into our life for our profit. Now, brethren, you know what that means that we can do tonight? We can trust Him. We can surrender. We can yield to what God has brought. I'm going to tell you, some of you, and I'm at the top, God brings things into our lives, and you know what we do? Lord, I don't like this. Well, that's what the Bible says. No chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but what is it? Grievous? It's heartbreaking. Lord, I don't need this now. Not now, God. Not now at this time. But I believe God in His love says, child, I love you, and I see what I've already created you to be. I've got so much for you, child, but I've got to discipline you. I've got to bring things to shape you and mold you and put you in the gymnasium, per se, and I've got to get you some exercise, and you're going to have to trust me, but you're not going to be able to see it. You're not going to see it, but by faith, trust me. By faith, yield to what I'm bringing. Take your Bibles in closing and let's go to the book of Job. The book of Job. Job chapter number 12. I want to encourage you to do something. Do you know that in the book of Job, we find the word wisdom 23 times in the book of Job? Can I say this to you? That God never explains to Job why. One commentator said this, that he researched the book of Job and he found 16 whys that Job asked God. 16 times Job said why. And can I say this to you tonight? Not one time did God answer Job 16 whys. But can I tell you what God did? Instead, He answered who. God did not say, Job, I know, buddy, your children died. I understand. You lost everything. Your wife. You know, sometimes we overlook that. We kind of look on her in disdain. But the truth is, do you know what the burden it was for Job? That he didn't have his companion at his side during that time. She just said, curse God and die, Job. Get it over with. But do you know that 16 times Job said why? And God never addressed it. Never. Read Job. But all God did was tell Job who God was. You know what He did? He said, Job, you don't need to know why. And Job, if I told you, you couldn't understand it anyway. You know what? Sometimes I'm like, God, why? Do you know that God does not owe me an explanation? Do you know tonight that I'm His creature and He is the Creator? And I do not have wisdom like God has. Oh my. My wisdom is so limited. And the older I get, the less wisdom I think I have. And the less understanding I have of the ways of God. Look at Job. We won't read all of chapter 12, but can I show you a few things? Job, chapter number 12, and let's just begin in verse number 1. And Job answered and said, no doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. Now, Job's talking to those miserable comforters, you know. And look what he said. Wisdom will die with you. Job said, you don't have God's wisdom. We read on. But I have understanding as well as you. I'm not inferior to you. Yea, who knoweth not such things as these? I am as one mocked of his neighbor who calleth upon God, and he answereth him. The just, upright man is laughed to scorn. He that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease. The tabernacles of robbers prosper, and they that provoke God are secure, into whose hand God bringeth abundantly. But ask now the beast, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? And whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind? Doth not the ear try words, and the mouth taste his meat? With the ancient is wisdom, and the length of days understanding. With him, now Job is referring now to God, and he says this, with him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. Behold, he breaketh down, and it cannot be built again. Can I say this to you? Sometimes God breaks things in our lives, and we want them built back up, but God may not want them to be built back up. He breaks it down. And he says, he shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. Verse 15, behold, he withholdeth the waters, and they dry up. Also, he sendeth them out, and they overturn the earth. With him is strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his. He leadeth counselors away spoiled, and maketh the judges fools. He looseth the bond of kings, and girdeth their loins with a girdle. He leadeth princes away spoiled, and overthroweth the mighty. He removeth away the speech of the trusty, and taketh away the understanding of the age. He poureth contempt upon princes, and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. He discovereth deep things out of darkness, and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them again. He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth, and causeth them to wander in wilderness where there is no way. They grope in the dark without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunken man. You know what Job is doing? Job is saying, those miserable comforters, his friends so-called, tried to say, well, Job, this is why God is doing this. This is why God has allowed this. And Job says, you don't know why. You can't tell me why. And Job says, I don't accept what you say because you're nothing but a miserable comforters. And listen, brethren, tonight, we need to be careful on giving descriptions of why God has done something. We don't know why. Brethren, tonight, God has a purpose. And by the way, let me say this to you. God never puts too much salt of adversity into the recipe of our lives. His blending of adversity and blessing is always exactly right for us. Henry Ward Beecher said this, no physician ever weighed out medicine to his patients with half so much care and exactness as God weighs out to us every trial. Not one grain too much does he ever permit to be put into the scale. Sometimes we think, God, this is too much. Lord, I can't bear another thing. But God is infinite in his wisdom. Discipline is always painful, but it is always profitable for you and me. And brethren, God in his wisdom. So tonight, you say, Pastor, where do we come to this? We must learn to trust God even when he doesn't tell us why. We must learn to trust him and faith him, even when we don't understand what God is doing. Tonight, we should surrender to God and what he has brought to our life. Surrender to the packages. All of God's packages are not pretty. Some of them are wrapped in black. Some of them are not enjoyable. some of them. And the Bible says it's not joyous but grievous. Tonight, I'm reminded of what C.H. Spurgeon said. He said, "Providence is wonderfully intricate. You want always to see through providence, do you not? You never will, I assure you. You have not eyes good enough. You want to see what good that affliction was to you. You must believe it. You want to see how it can bring good to the soul. You may be enabled in a little time, but you cannot see it now. You must believe it. Honor God by trusting Him." Brethren, tonight, I'll tell you what we ought to come to. Some of us ought to get at this altar and say, "God, I don't have to understand. I'm just going to trust You." And you see, brethren, that changes everything. You see, the sovereignty of God gives us peace. It gives us joy. It gives us assurance that God is at work in our life. Look here, if we know tonight by faith, if we know and trust God by faith that everything that comes through the door of our life into our hearts, every circumstance, every valley, every trial, every heartache, that God has measured it out in purpose to make us more like Him. You know what I want to do? Yes, Jesus, I surrender. Yes, Lord, make me more like Thee. Yes, Lord, use me. The wonderful wisdom of our God. Let's bow our heads in prayer.